Good morning, good afternoon, and good day to our Dad Timeout listeners around the world. Welcome to the Dad Timeout Show, changing parenting roles theme tonight, based on an article. We're just four dads with 12 kids between us, and we all, oddly enough or not, work in the entertainment industry. We're not experts, but we listen to them. We interview them, we react to them, and we share what we've learned with you, our listeners. There's a little pop culture, a lot of parenting, laughter, and experience. Use the other 23 hours a day to do life, but for this, put the ears on and come hang out with us. It's your place to put your feet up or down. If you're exercising, driving, food shopping, horseback riding, running around the block, or anything like that. If you could like us, subscribe, or leave a review, we're giving out pumpkins during this year's holiday episodes, and you'll assuredly be on our list. Also, have some fun and follow us on the gram, Twitter, and Facebook. In tonight's show, the dads have a little fun with parenting tweets of the week. They then take a good look at the article that caused quite a stir in the DTO camp called How Fathers Can Avoid Pitfalls of Shifting Parenting Roles, according to therapist John Duffy. That's featured in our Smart Articles by Smart People segment. Also, the dads are going to try their hand at a Halloween candy quiz brought to us by PBS. And also, finally, a few thought-provoking questions on our Would You Rather segment. Most importantly, we'll find out which dad dressed up as Gilligan and the Skipper with his wife. And finally, we wrap up with things that make us smile. Speaking of things that make me smile, what's your name, young lady?
Lola.
And Lola, what is your joke on this rainy fall evening?
Where does a ghost go for shopping?
Where does a ghost go for shopping?
A ghost restore.
A ghost restore? What? That is amazing. All right, well, you head inside, get nice and dry, and we'll keep on recording out here. The dads are coming around the corner. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dad Timeout Show coming up next.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, the timer's ticking and the boys are around the corner.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome. Cheers.
Cheers to you all.
Can I just say it's very mellow right now?
Man, the crickets. The crickets.
Let's just paint the room for our listeners because it's an outdoors room. And California's got its pros and cons. Let's not lie. But one of the pros is that it's about 73 to 75 right now. The sun is setting, and it's this purple-orange hue-ish, and you are looking at the redwoods to my west.
Yeah, gorgeous.
And I am looking at the hills to my east.
Oh, but your whole backyard has got an
ambiance. Almost like a,
yeah,
it's like a cafe. We got the lights and the crickets.
The lights? Look at this.
Chateau de Canadet.
I came here earlier and had my dinner here, and I was saying, like, this is better than the restaurant I came from.
It's so nice to hear that.
So nice.
Yeah, we're going to start having dinner parties and stuff.
You should charge.
Once we get clear of this
mission back here.
Come cover charge.
Mini Oasis. Because, you know, it's quiet because the kids are at cross country and they'll be home soon. But welcome to the Dad Timeout Show. We are three dads tonight. Softball Ben is missing in action. He's playing adult man softball.
Yes, he is.
He hasn't gotten full on the description of it yet. Like, is there a keg at every base? Is there?
Sounds pretty serious, though.
No, it's D League. It's D League. It's co ed D League.
I don't know what D League is.
It's competitive, right? Sort of fun.
No. D League.
Ben's younger.
D League is just fun. But, you know.
I thought you did that in your 20s, like post college.
Yeah.
Hello, Ben.
Miss you, Ben.
Yes, we do miss you, Ben. But it is, let's go around the room tonight on this beautiful, I wouldn't say sultry because then it would make it humid. This beautiful fall harvest evening here. Go to my left first. What's your name, sir? How many children do you have, and what's your role in this podcast?
Oh, man. I'm Chris, and I have two daughters. I guess I'm the neurotic one. I don't know.
Neurotic? This is where I put in my tiger sound effect. Tiger dad.
Mark, I've got four kids, and, you know, I don't know. Chris keeps calling me the perfectionist dad.
Perfect dad.
I don't know how I feel about that. That leaves too much room for error.
I'm sensing another Mark challenge. Folks, if you follow the show regularly, you know we challenge Mark to his comments often now, as it's become a thing.
Bullying.
Well, not really. It's really calling a bluff, as they would say in poker. And there's a local taqueria, and Mark says that they know him so well in this taqueria that they will pre-divvy out his salsas and have them ready for him. Like, here you go, Mr. Harvey. Now, keep in mind, there's usually a line pretty much out the door at this place, and it is four cashiers deep, and it is very busy. I find it very difficult to believe that the C's part, or the salsas part, and they see Senor Harvey come in, and there are salsas canned up. That is the next Mark's challenge on the book.
Nice people hold on.
Last time you saw me there and we were creepily taking pictures of me, MK, did you see the cup that was handed to my son? Because she comps us drinks whenever we go, so I'm not paying for drinks.
I didn't witness any of this.
You mumbling?
I believe you.
Hey, the salsa divvying stopped. They now have the salsa bar open. Therefore, now I have to scoop my own salsa.
Okay, so we're not going to get long-winded here, but I do want to tell the funny side of this. So the four of us are always on a text chain that runs endlessly. And I was taking pictures of the taquerias, and I was saying to Crix and Ben, I'm like, this is the next Mark challenge. Like, I don't believe him. He's not getting salsas on. They don't know him. They don't know him from anybody here. So lo and behold, I get a text on this chain from Mark that's saying, actually, I'm in here right now, blah, 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 blah. I'm sitting at the booth 10 feet behind him.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm looking at him and his little boy in his cute little karate jujitsu outfit.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's right there.
It's like Christmas.
So I take a picture of the back of his head.
Wow.
And as we're getting the free soda.
And then he's getting his faux salsas that it really didn't happen. And then I tapped him on the shoulder, like, oh, is someone watching you? I turned around and walked out of the joint.
Oh, man.
I was laughing so hard, I called Ben from the car. And I'm like, you are never going to guess the coincidental craziness that just happened.
Wow.
Okay, sorry. We're going to move along. Sorry, listeners, for that bombardment of man story to start off the show. We've got a good show tonight. We're going to be talking about an article that you may or may not agree with here in the room, how fathers can avoid pitfalls of shifting parenting roles, according to therapist John Duffy. That's in our Smart Articles by Smart People segment. We're going to do Parent Tweets of the Week coming up next. We've got a little fun with Halloween, but we're not going to roll it out just yet. And then we're going to do our super shout outs, have a little fun with Would You Rathers, which are actually professional Would You Rathers tonight. I'm holding up a box. I got this from a company, not a sponsor yet, called Best Self.
Huh,
and this is the Icebreaker Starter Pack. So we're going to start on adult level Would You Rathers. It's a company called Best Self. And then we're going to move on to PBS has a Halloween candy quiz, and we'll see how you guys do there. And we'll wrap up with things that make us smile. But let's keep it moving with super shout outs. And today, or actually it was a little while ago, there was National Podcast Day.
Yep.
And we got clumped in with some pretty good podcasts out there, right? I was very honored to be in these mentions with some of these podcasts that I'm huge fans of. So I want to give all these podcasts a shout out. And this is VIA Twitter, and it came through our man Hossman at home. But I want to give shout outs, of course, to the At Dad House Pod, at Art Eddie 3, who's also going to be a guest on the show. I'm kind of batting two for two there because Shannon Carpenter was last time. If by the way, thanks for all your feedback on that episode. That was a really good one. And I can't wait to check in with Shannon, see how his book is selling. The At Dad Ass Podcast, At Dad Ass, if you're not a badass, you're a dad ass, at What Fresh Media, which is the What Fresh Hell ladies, and they are amazing, at One Bad Mothers, at Dad Fiction, at The Noma Dad, which is another friend of ours, at City Dad's Group, at Fatherhood is Lit, at Father Together, and at SBCHBUM.
Mm.
Oh, no, that's a tweet of the week. Just merge sections. Speaking of all that, if you could like, share, or follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, or if you could give us a good review anywhere, it would be a big help in the algorithms of life, especially on the Apple. We would appreciate it. Or heck, just stop in and say hi, because we love talking to our listeners. We love talking to other pods. We love talking to cool parents and people trying to change the narrative and do the right thing. Mark is going to be sending out pumpkins to all that participate this month. So I will give you his address at the end of the show, and you can start emailing him. So welcome in once again, guys. That's only 7 minutes off the clock, but we will burn through the rest of the show. And welcome, listeners. Dad Time Out Show Parent Tweets of the Week coming up next.
Time now for the tweet of the week. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
All right, it's time for parent tweets of the week. We are kind of rolling through October.
Yeah.
October.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, one of my favorite U2 albums, by the way.
Very good.
We have sort of a Halloween theme, sort of not, but we're going to have another show, so we won't take your favorite show of the year away, Mark.
Thank you.
This is from at SCBCHBUM. I'm assuming SC Beach Bum, and it's not a podcast, which I mentioned earlier. Couples' Halloween costumes always end up looking like one person went along with it to save the relationship.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about Halloween?
Yes.
Do you?
I do.
Wait, no, you know I despise it. But do you, the question is, do you dress up with your wife as pairs?
You know, we've done it sometimes and sometimes not. So, you know, yeah. Yeah.
Do you do like what?
Vampire and
vampirette.
Yeah, vampiress. And she did thing one and thing two one time when she was pregnant. That was kind of cute. That wasn't me. Because I that'd be weird. But, you know, I sometimes, yes, sometimes no. We've done family things.
Like you that. Have?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The family costume? The group costume?
What family theme have you done?
So, let's see. I was Captain Hook.
Oh,
my
boy.
Son was Peter Pan.
Oh.
My little girl, but this is before the littlest was born. So my girl was
Tinkerbell,
and my oldest daughter was Wendy.
Nice.
So,
wow.
Yeah. We've done it.
Yeah,
not
nice.
Not us.
And
I'll wear a winter hat that says boo. And yeah.
It's so unlike you. Like, I would think that you're a Halloween guy.
He was wearing costumes for far too long to want to get dressed up.
I was in sweaty mascot costumes for a chunk of my life. They're breaking me around here. Like, I'm slowly, like, I'm getting there. It might be too late. I don't know.
You don't have to wear a sweaty costume. You could just, you know, be like, Flo the insurance lady. You know, whatever. Like, it's...
what have you done? Have you done any couples or family-centric ones?
Back in the day when my wife and I were, like, you know, a little, you know, doing funner stuff. Like,
interesting.
I was the skipper. She was Gilligan.
No.
You know, we just put on a red shirt. She's skinny, you know, put on the little hat. I was like, hey, little buddy, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's not weird, is it?
Can you please unearth a picture of this?
I'll send it to you guys. We'll post it up on the thingamajiggies.
I don't do it. I can't do parties. I can't do dress up parties. Like, to me, that was straight up 20s and college. Like, once I passed out of that zone, I was like, I don't need to dress up anymore. But hey, more power to you. That's why Spirit Halloween Store is a $1 billion business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, good for you guys. This one is from at Paperwash. It's a great idea. His idea from Paperwash is idea for a haunted house. Dimly lit grocery store sprinkled with people you haven't talked to since high school.
Oh, man. Wow. That's terrifying. So, how are the kids?
Hi, Arlene. And the lights blinking above you.
Exactly.
I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I've talked to most people since high school.
So when you have that.
I feel like social media has reunited me with so many people that I really don't feel like I've missed the. I mean, I've missed life, but then social media doesn't fill in for life. But yeah, it wouldn't be that. But the dim, like the broken CVS with nothing on the shelves and the dimly lit aisles, and then there's Marianne. The girl that stood you up in ninth grade.
It's weird because, like, when you see people in public it's like that you're actually friends with on Facebook, and you're like commenting on their pictures, and you're like, hey, your son's growing up. And then when you see them, you know, at Target, you're like, ooh, hey.
yeah, what's up? Hey. Not nearly as jovial.
Yeah, exactly. I have nothing to say to you.
Yeah. Where's the grocery section here at Target, Jim?
I saw your son was at the football
game.
Isn't
that the truth, though? It's like, you know, because you want to have courtesy, you want to be karmically correct. It's like, congratulations on Jimmy hitting a double on Saturday. And then you see that person in Target and you're like, what's up? Hey. I gotta keep moving. Busy Saturday. Oh, man. All right. Next one's from @home_halfway. This is probably could be my mantra. For Halloween this year, I'm going as, air quotes, guy who feels awkward at Halloween parties.
Yeah, exactly. See?
Yeah.
That's, you could be that costume. You just need like a label, right?
I can't go in as like Fred and Wilma and have a couple glasses of punch and like feel like I'm having fun. Like, I
really?
Yeah.
You'd be a good Fred Flintstone.
Thank you.
So I propose you find something that you'd be really passionate about being.
Like an astronaut.
Well, that was very philosophical.
Well, you know, I mean, if you think about it, it's like what would make you feel like $1 million being out? You know, what could you, so Halloween's the greatest play date of the year. It's where you can suspend disbelief, be whoever you want to be for one night. If you're already who you want to be and you're happy where you're at, then sweet. But sometimes it's fun to be the Kraken, or
is it though?
Or yeah. Well, it kind of is.
Sometimes. It's like, you know, it's like you're a grown-up playing dress-up one time.
Oh, I had a lot of fun being a priest.
Ninja now. Yeah, you convinced me.
Oh, I was young Santa Claus one year, too. That was super fun.
I was Santa Claus in first grade. Like, I've been in costumes my whole dang life, and I'm not going to do it anymore. Well, except if my children want me to. I wear a taco hat for Taco Tuesdays in the
house.
There you go. My kids will be in the driveway selling lemonade, and I'll serve them their lunch in a nice suit and play the role of a waiter. That's as far as I'll go.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun,
I get
though.
It. It's your job.
Yeah, whatever. Halloweenies.
I want to bring work home.
All right, we're going to go off topic here. Mark and I can share this because our school drop-off's kind of crazy these days. Okay. And pick up and @pro_warrior_ school drop-off me and school pickup me are not the same person. That is right. School drop-off me, wow, how coincidental that my lovely young bride is entering the room. Because we've been doing a lot of school drop-offs together. Yeah.
It's a hoot, huh?
Oh, yeah.
We enjoy our camaraderie. It's a good time in the morning.
Most mornings.
You know,
some mornings that are not so exciting.
You know, drop-off is a lot easier than pickup. Well, I'm usually in the first line for pickup.
Well, does that surprise anybody?
Except the one time that MK saw me not, and he was heckling me for being late.
You know, this makes for a great backyard conversation, but not necessarily a great podcast. But thank you very much for your kindness.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, editor, producer, wife, love of my life. Don't flip me off. No, I'm only kidding. Okay, the final one is, actually, I don't know why I love this one. At home with Peanut, my 5-year-old is learning about exercise and endurance, but he keeps saying insurance. Yesterday, he asked me if you need good insurance when you run. I told him at my age, you had better.
Sometimes, exactly.
We just had this talk.
That's awesome.
Prior to the podcast, as Chris and I both swear we're breaking down.
Yeah.
Insurance. It's getting creaky. It's getting like, oh, what's it this week? And it's like every time you fix something else happens. I do think that I'm going backwards. So can I tell you guys something real quick on the sidebar? Sorry, listeners. This is my thing. It could be things that make me smile. I've received my smart scale.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So yeah. I now know all those little side numbers, which are both frightening and driving at the same time. But my real age, health-wise, is 2 years younger than my age
metabolic.
What?
That's phenomenal. Good stuff.
That's worth the money.
But the, what's the...
Thank you for the support scale.
Yeah.
Oh, you know me, though. Like, I'll eat a radish, and then I run and Google, like, is a radish... How good is a radish good for me? And then I'll see, like, oh, radishes are high in this and this and this. And then I feel better about myself for a couple hours.
Right.
Right.
Well, and then the juicer and the whole... I'm going to talk about scale more. It's and just for everybody knows, it is for me. It is not for the family.
Yeah.
I don't care what they do. I just I want them to be healthy and happy. For me, I'm trying to stay fit and stay in the zone of not attending the doctor's office.
Exactly.
Often. So those are our tweets of the week. And coming up next are smart articles by smart people. And let me just sing a little song before we get into this for Mark. You're not gonna like it. No, you're not gonna like it. You're not gonna like the article.
People.
All right, guys, it's time for Smart Articles by Smart People. It's kind of funny. I feel like I'm bookending Shannon's interview because, like, we kind of tease our guests before they come on, then we have the guest on, and then we have the post show, and we've all probably listened to the episode at that point. Shannon's my friend. He just wrote a book, The Ultimate Stay-at-Home Dad, Your Essential Manual for Being Awesome, Full-Time Father, came out October 12th. And I'm very excited to see how it's doing out there. But if you can buy it, just Google that, or we'll put up links as well. But it's interesting because, and this is where I'm going, we had a long talk about this on the show, and this article popped up. I usually will start by, you know, Googling parenting, and then I'll hit news and just see if anything's really a hot topic right now, and then I'll kind of dive in and figure it out. But the title of this article, it was interesting to me, and it was off-putting, but yet I understood why the article was written. And let me get into it. It's called How Fathers Can Avoid Pitfalls of Shifting Parenting Roles, According to a Therapist, and then by John Duffy. I think that Shannon and I talked about this, and this is my pre-thought of why I presented this article to you guys. That are we, because we are very active fathers, we are very present fathers, the four of us right here in this yard, except Ben right now, he's playing man softball somewhere. but Ben is an incredibly loving father as well, and very active with his kids. So we're there, like, and we're just constantly, like, putting new car parts in, fixing the car, mending, trying to get our mental game straight, trying to be better fathers. So, like, we're doing a lot of the right things. We're not perfect, but we're all learning there. When I read this article, I, you know, Shannon and I were saying, are we, because his group in Kansas City are very like-minded as well. He met them through the Kansas City Dads group, through City Dads group, and they've been best friends for, I think he said, 15 years, right? So there's a pocket of those dads there that are all present and bring their kids everywhere and all this great stuff. And then when you read something like this, by the way, Shannon's picture is in the article. That's, he's the family in the lower part.
Oh,
he talks about being a stay-at-home dad. But it really addresses, and I've had this opposite effect here, and I'll explain that. It addresses the fathers that, because of the pandemic, were kind of forced to stay home and be present. And now they are reflecting on that time at home as they go back to the either flexible schedules or whatever, but they're trying, there's a mass movement of them trying to be, wow, that they tasted the good life, sure, is what I'm saying. Yeah, like, yeah, they were at home with the kids, saw the wake ups, got to drive to get the ice creams. They, because unfortunately the numbers support this, the data supports this, it's still a minority where the father is not the breadwinner. A lot, sure. So many moms are out there. Now it's split. The trajectory is really split more over the years, but still in most of this country anyway, the father is the breadwinner. The mother may be secondary, and it's not split. And that's just data. I'm not I'm not giving opinion at all, because our house is the other way around. You know, I'm part-time, but I chose to stay at home and be part-time gig guy, writer guy, announcer guy, because we figured out ways to do that. And I wouldn't trade 1 minute of that decision moving forward. But what I found was really wild. It was, you know, the topic headers were shifting parent roles for fathers. And in my head, I'm like, how are these dads not there? But then you have to realize they're not. And that was a huge thing. We had the reverse in this house. My wife was home for the first time in a long time. Because, you know, she did. She went into the city. She did her thing. And then she'd come home. And then we'd have the cycle of sports and life and events and holidays and et cetera, et cetera. And it was just all moving fast. And now that things are starting to slowly go back, she's realizing that she really enjoyed this unique period of time. And she wants to kind of figure out how to expand that moving forward.
Yeah.
Mark, I know you had umbrage with this, but I wanted you to understand my perspective before you spoke on it, because I totally see where you're coming from. And, you know, when he gave the things at the bottom, announce the change, shift your priorities, be patient, take cues from mom. Like, you can definitely see another side of the fence if you just took out the pronouns in our world. You know, and you said, take cues from dad, take cues from this, da, 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 da. We strive to be very equal in our house, like all transparency, and we discuss that regularly. But what do you think? I'm done talking. Let me jump down off the soapbox.
So, well, let me say that your lead-in was perfect because, I was first a stay-at-home dad in 1999 with my first child, and back then, it was extremely unusual to have stay-at-home dads, and it was a struggle to try and find other dads to hang out with. And I found myself going places. And as I read the article and I read the fathers on the outside of the first day of school, kind of fumbling around, I was thinking, you know, dads aren't idiots. I mean, yeah. You know, and so again, I've always been on the higher sensitivity area of most guys. I have three sisters, no brothers, stay-at-home mom. My dad traveled, so I grew up with women, and so I'm sensitive. And so this article made me feel sensitive, because I was kind of like, hey, wait a minute, you know, not all dads are bumbling, stumbling, you know, incapable yeah. of showing warmth or love or whatever. Now, the thing, of course, that I do like about the article is that's awesome that parents, you know, that mothers and fathers who are traditionally outside the home had an opportunity to spend more time with their kids. But I just, I always have a visceral feeling about assuming that dads don't know what they're up to. You know, my kids have learned from me how to cook, how to do laundry, how to clean, and how to be a boss at work. So I feel like I'm showing them all sides of what a human being should be, man, woman, whatever. You know, their mom is a boss. She's phenomenal. And she works outside the home. And right now I'm doing gig work and I'm at home with the kids. So I'm kind of in another stint of my life of kind of being stay at home, similar to what you do, MK. And I do love it. I love being that guy. I like being at school for the pickups. I like, you know, all that sort of thing. But I just, so, you know, again, I understand that if a psychologist wrote this, chances are the people who are seeing that psychologist in therapy probably need a breakthrough to be capable of being who they need to be for their children. I feel, you know, I tell my kids I love them. I give them hugs. I tell them how important they are. And I'm kind of fluffy that way. So, you know, I'm a lot more calmed down than I was when I first read the article. But anyway.
No. Listen, and we'll continue. I just want to clarify, too, because the article leads this way. It's a big change for dads to be more active in family life and requires some adjustments in thinking. Many children of male clients I see are not used to their fathers in a fun dad role at all. Parenting roles have shifted over the past 30 years or so, with women participating more in the workforce over that time, yet the majority of parenting is still done by mothers, even those working full or part-time outside the home. This work includes listening, playing together, helping with homework. And then goes on to say, fathers that don't share roles, tasks of parenting equally, also miss out on the joy of being with their kids frequently. Like, when I read that paragraph, I'm like, wow, that was so out of left for me, because I've I'm not saying I'm a perfect dad. I'm not. I'm very flawed. But I am saying, like, I was like, oh, I do everything there. Like, how can someone not? But then I have to go to the other side and realize some dads are out there busting their butts and coming home late from shifts, and they're working really hard, and yeah, they have to figure out how to get those quality moments in with the kids.
Well, look, you guys, I think, you know, it's harder for you to grasp and fathom, like, what this article is about. And I think that's kudos to you guys, you know, because it doesn't even, like, you know, make sense to you. But I would say that for me, you know, like, I've always wanted to be an active participant in my kids' and lives, and I wanted to be super present because my dad wasn't, like, culturally, he didn't want to have mm-hmm. anything to do with parenting. Like, his job was to, you know, make the money. He'd come home and then, like, you know, smoke a cigarette and read the paper, and then we were supposed to not bother him. You know, like, that was how it was. And mom handled all the parenting things, and I didn't want that for my kids. Like, I really wanted to be, you know, super active in my kids' lives growing up and all of that. And so I made a conscious effort to do that. And luckily, for the first, like, 20 years of the last job I had, I was able to have a really good work-life balance where, again, I was like you guys, where, you know, it didn't make sense that I wouldn't want to be dropping my kids off at school or being part of their thing and you know, being part of every part of their lives that they let me into. But now with this recent job, you know, it's been really tough because it really has taken a toll on me.
Right.
It has been, like, sucking up all my time, and my work-life balance has drastically shifted to the other side where, you know, I'm up at, you know, 6:30, and I'm not even commuting. Like, you know, this is working from home. I'm jumping on Zoom calls all day long. I barely have time to, like, even drink a protein shake for lunch kind of thing. And then at the end of the day, it's like 6 o'clock. I'm still getting work messages on my phone, and it's really hard to, like, go from being at every softball game and coaching them on everything and going to every golf practice to then, like, not being there.
Right.
And so I feel like, you know, like you said at the beginning, there's a lot of people that they don't have the luxury or the opportunity to be in that situation where they are able to be a part of their, you know, do the, that
side of the parenting. Oh, 100%.
And now that I'm in this situation, it really is at least something eye-opening for me where, okay, I got to reset myself. And I got to try to do some of these tips to try to get back to that because, man, I do feel like I'm missing out. I am, like, relying a lot more on my wife to handle all of these things and almost, again, turning into my dad, you know, where it's like, oh, I'm so tired. Leave me alone at the end of the day. I don't want to play Trouble anymore, you know. I don't want to play the stupid game right now.
That's
tired,
where I was getting to, Chris. Like, I had to take myself out of this zone and take this out of the like-mindedness that a lot of us have here. And really think of, oh, we're in the minority, yeah, as far as numbers, yeah, are concerned, data, national,
right,
trends, like historical trends. And then when I put myself on the other side, I'm like, oh, now I'm really starting to breathe this article in, and it makes a lot more sense to me,
yeah,
that these dads had this sparkle of downtime, and they would, what they saw how, I mean, I tell this story, I've told it like 6 times now. I apologize. But there's a part of Bruce Springsteen's book where he was being a rock star, right? And he was just coming home and writing music and playing music and endless cycle. And they had young kids. And his wife came into the bedroom one day and he's like, yeah, Bruce, you're missing the mornings with them. And that's their most vulnerable time. Like, they're so sweet and you're their first impression of the day. And she's like, why don't you just come down and be with us? And he did a couple times, and it changed his entire narrative. And he never missed another, because he saw the joy,
yeah,
of that. And I think that's a lot of what this article is,
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it's like, totally. Once you get a taste, mm-hmm, right? Yeah.
Well, and I think that's, like, to your point, what you said, Chris, about your dad. I mean, my dad was very loving, but he was also a traveling salesperson. So he wasn't around a lot. So I know that as a father, I always wanted to try and be as present as, and you know, my parents didn't go to my sporting events, they didn't go to my plays or my musicals or things, yeah, I was in, yeah. Well, no, I, you know, yeah, but it's something but it's something where, you know, when you look out in the audience, your folks aren't there, it's a bummer. And so I never wanted my kids to look out in the audience and not see my wife or I there, yeah, to support them in what they want to do.
Oh, same here, 100%.
And so you know, and so to what you were saying, MK, about the taste of it, is that, you know, when I became a stay-at-home dad for the first time, the taste of that,
yeah,
was so, like, magical that I feel like I've been unbelievably fortunate and blessed to have been able to spend quality time with all of my kids in their growing up years, because, you know, mm-hmm. they become an adult and then they're off on their own, and yeah, they come back and see you. But I'll tell you, nothing beats the, you know, even though it's early in the morning, the 6 o'clock in the morning wake up call from my 6 year old when he on a Saturday morning, and I don't want to be up that early, but I'll tell you what, he'll cuddle into bed and he'll jump that's in great, bed with us yeah. and we'll just sit there and hang out for a while and talk. And man, that's yeah. golden. That's stuff that's going to stick with him, and thank goodness it'll stick with me for the rest of our lives.
So. Well, yeah, it's again, you know, we're getting into this. We have to get an expert on to talk about this. Are we destined to repeat our family of origin, or are we trying to break away from the mishaps of our family of origin and change it moving forward?
It sounds like we're all trying to break it.
It's this group in particular.
Sure.
But like today, Shannon had a loving father, and their family and his upbringing was so full of love, and his dad was all about making memories with them, and he's now translating that into his family. So there's the other side of that coin too. So I'd really like to bring an expert on and talk about it. But you know, at the end of the day, I'm rooting for all dads out there to not only, you know, spend time with your children, of course, but like to really, to your saying, Mark, taste that magic of, if you haven't been there unintentionally through work and life, you know, it's really, it's a special thing that, you know, really in 20 years, you're going to look back and really feel like that. But I do get necessity, I get finances, and I'm very empathetic. So I always want to weigh out all the different sides of the square and just, you know, try and talk about it in a round top form. And you, that's the nice part about this show, is like, we don't have to agree with everything we throw out there.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're cheering on as I think they say, let's row all oars and try and continue positive parenthood, positive fatherhood, positive motherhood, and equal oars in the water at all times from both sides of the equation. And getting that balanced family is, you know, what I strive for, because it definitely tips and shifts and moves and hits rocks and, you know, all that stuff. But great stuff. And thanks for the article. And we will post that online as well. That was Smart Articles by Smart Person. And coming up next is a Halloween candy quiz brought to you by PBS.
Oh, yeah.
Time now for the dad quiz. Parent quiz.
All right, guys, it's time for the parent quiz. Take this quiz and see if you know your spooky Halloween history. This will be the speed version because we're running long on time tonight. We want folks to get back to their lives. But it's a good one from PBS.
I'm confident.
During World War II, this candy, often seen at Halloween, was part of soldiers' field rations due to its longevity in numerous environmental conditions. Is it the Tootsie Roll, the Starburst, or the Jolly Rancher?
Tootsie Roll.
Candy often seen at Halloween was part of a soldier's field ration.
That seems kind of like a ration. It's all
I think Starburst would last a long time, or the Ranchers definitely. I think Tootsie Roll's got the historic significance
here. The chocolatey
here.
Goodness of a Tootsie Roll.
Let me tell you about, I'll tell you the story about the, I used to melt Starbursts on my lamp in my bedroom when I was a kid. Oh,
yeah, so they're all nice and soft.
Oh, they were so soft.
So good.
All right, yeah, good. I'm not crazy. Yes, it's the Tootsie Roll. Okay, question number two. Good job. In 1847, Crix's favorite Necco wafers were invented by young English immigrants. Necco, those are so horrible.
They're the worst.
Sorry, Necco. Not a fan. Is an acronym for what? New England Confectionery Company, New England Candy Company, or the Never Ending Candy Company?
The Confectionery, number one.
I'm going to say
Confectionery.
Confectionery one.
New England Confectionery Company.
Who sang the song Never Ending Story?
I don't know.
That wasn't David Bowie, was it?
That would be Lamal. Oh. His other song was Too Shy Shy. Hush, hush.
That's Kajagoogoo.
Yeah, that's Kajagoogoo.
Wasn't Lamal the lead singer?
He was the lead singer of Kajagoogoo.
What about the Necco wafers?
Nice poll.
No, I don't like Necco wafers.
No, but what's the answer?
I like Kajagoogoo.
Oh, it's the New England Confectionery Company. Okay. Sorry about that. Sorry, listeners. In its infancy, this celebrated Halloween candy was commonly called chicken feed. And it's my daughter's absolute favorite, my youngest daughter. She even sneaks them in before school. I caught her yesterday. Taffy, candy corn, or licorice?
Candy corn.
It's got to be candy corn.
I'm going to go with the ever-loving candy corn. Do you like candy corns?
Yeah. If they're there, I'll eat them. But, you know, they're not my favorite.
I like, there's nothing like a fresh candy corn.
Really?
The jack-o'-lantern originated from a myth in this country. Mauritius, Tasmania, or England?
What?
No, Ireland.
No, you knew I was kidding you. France, England, or Ireland?
Ireland.
Yeah, it's Ireland.
The O-Lantern gives it away.
Right? The O-Lantern gave it away. Turnips. The pumpkin and autumn favorite for carving or eating is native to which continent? Europe, Australia, or North America?
I don't know.
Second chances or a charm?
I feel Europe. Like North America is because of all of the, don't you remember all the Thanksgiving cutouts with the Native Americans and the pumpkin?
They're saying Europe.
Oh, well, they must have brought them over, huh?
Yeah, or maybe it's getting late and I'm just reading the wrong answer. I don't know. This is a good one. In 1928, the pink bubble gum that is now known as Double Bubble was invented in my home city, Philly, by Walter E. DeMere. Why is it pink? A, pink dye was the only color on hand at the time. B, the inventor wanted the color to match the interior of a mouth. Or C, the gum was supposed to be white, but a little red food coloring spilled into the batch, turning the gum pink.
I'm going B. I'm going A, the cheaper one. The pink is the only color they had.
I'm going to go B.
B is the mouth color thing, yeah.
No, it's either A or C. Come on.
Pink dye was the only color on hand at the time.
That's a bad reason.
All right, final question. This traditional Halloween activity was said to forecast who would wed first. Was it bobbing for apples, hay rides, or carving pumpkins? Traditional Halloween activity was said to forecast who would wed first.
Wed first? Like carving pumpkins? That
doesn't
make sense.
I've got my answer, but I'm going to wait on you.
Bobbing for apples.
It's got to be bobbing for apples.
If you grab an apple, you get married or something?
It's got to be. That's the only competition.
Yeah.
Yes, it's bobbing for apples. All right, short and sweet it was. 4 minutes and 29 seconds. Nice. That was the fastest parent quiz we've ever had. Thanks to all that played Home Alone, and thanks to all that played here in the yard.
Quiz.
That was silly.
All right, gentlemen, it's time for a Would You Rather, and I thought I'd go professional level tonight. I got this nifty icebreaker starter pack from Best Self, not a sponsor. Yet, wink, wink. Great questions. Icebreakers for conversations, for parties, for dinners, or for your podcast.
Nice.
There's your plug. Okay, here's question number one. What was the first thing you remember buying with your own money?
Oh, man.
I have two major ones that I recall because they're 40-plus years in the past.
Yeah.
I remember shoveling snow in my neighborhood. I remember shoveling Mr. Conwell's driveway, and he paid me like $5, which was huge. And I remember it was a horrible snowstorm. And I remember I bought a Valentine's Day present for my mom. I walked to the florist in Pendel, Pennsylvania, Bellevue Florist. Shout out Bellevue Florist. And I bought her with that $5 a present.
Oh, now, that's so nice.
My first money that I earned that I bought something like cool for me, I remember was, well, there's a couple. Darn it, now I'm thinking of more stuff. But here's the one that I recalled for this show. I walked into Sam Goody Records.
Yeah.
And I bought the Cars album. With the girl on the steering wheel.
Candy-O. Nice.
Yeah. No, Candy-O, she was laying on the car mark. That's false. Huh? The Cars, however, she was on the steering wheel, had such hits as You're Just What I Needed, Bye Bye Love.
Yes.
So those were the first things. How about you guys?
For me, I remember really young. This was almost a traumatic chapter in my life, but my grandfather had given us Christmas money when we were young.
Oh, boy. Hold on.
And my dad would always, you know, like it would always disappear, right? Like we'd get a card with cash in it. And then, you know, we were kids. We wouldn't really remember. But this one Christmas, next morning after the Christmas party, I remembered that grandpa gave me a 20 and my dad put it in his wallet and told me he'd give it to me later. So I woke up early and found his wallet, took the 20 out of the wallet. And I remember I walked over to Safeway. I was probably like 7 years old. I didn't, you know, I had no idea what I'd do with this $20 bill or anything. So I bought a Mickey Mouse watch and some chocolate syrup, and I sat in the parking lot and I ate the chocolate syrup straight like it was like a drink, you know.
Oh my God.
I think it was Magic Show. But when I came home with the Mickey Mouse watch, my dad was like, "Where'd you get that watch?" And I was like, "I took the 20 out of your wallet." Oh my gosh. He was so upset, man.
He was?
He took the watch away, and like it was the worst experience of my life that I'm still traumatized to this day. But hey, you brought it up, man.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I guess I could front me the therapy bill. Sorry about that, no, Mark.
That's funny. You know, when this question hit me, I thought about, I was always side hustling. I was doing magic shows for charging admission. I was doing, you know, lemonade stands. I had a paper route. I was always like, you know, trying to hustle for money. But when you asked the question, the first thing that came to mind was I remember riding the bus to downtown San Carlos, going into Woolworth and buying this really large ape. It was like King Kong. Yeah, it was like an ape.
Oh, a dog. Action, like a it was like an ape. Ape.
An ape action figure. And I remember, I think I might have been like seven. And back then, you just, you know, take a quarter, take the bus downtown. It was not a big deal. Yeah, so that was like, that's the first thing that came to mind was a King Kong ape.
Do you still have said ape?
I do not.
Interesting.
I do not. Although I do have all my Star Wars action figures still.
Mm. Oh, no, you're not one of those in the package.
Still, no. Okay, they were all played with.
All right, Steve Carell. question number two. Try to keep this shorter. If you could go back in time. Oh, no, that was a great story. I may take that soundbite and play it over as a teaser. If you could go back in time, what would you tell your teenage self?
Oh, man.
I think on a serious note, I don't have many regrets. I really don't. I don't look back at my teenage years and think, I would have done that different. I wouldn't have done that different. I would have told myself that it's all going to work out. I would have told myself to keep grinding, keep pushing, be myself, and it's all going to work out. And I would just reinforce it. And I think of that as I have a teenage daughter now. Like, that's what farmed up that answer was like, what would I tell her now? Because I see her every single day. And then, of course, I have two more on the train tracks. Chris?
I mean, for me, this is something that I think about all the time, like fantasize about going back in time, like in the DeLorean, and like, what would I say? And like, I have like a whole like roster of things, like 200 things. Like, I'm so like haunted by, because I was like, kind of a screw up, right? Like, so.
How about one?
I mean, I guess like to your point, I feel like, you know, I stressed out a lot and it all worked out. So like, you know, if I were going to say one thing, I would be like, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing, because that's part of what ended up making you who you are. But
yeah,
there's so many screw ups that I wish I would. Don't sneak out that one Valentine's Day and remember you're going to run out of gas on the freeway on your first date. And, you know, like a million of those things, like, you know.
But I mean, don't mistakes make you who you are as well.
Yeah,
no. Like,
yeah, totally.
It all factors into this giant recipe, and you know, you're the cookie.
You're right. You're
now right. And you know, you sound like you've had a pretty at least in the stories that we've been able to glean, a pretty colorful and dynamic upbringing.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Good and bad. But enough, yeah,
of course. We all have our regrets though, you know.
Right. Mark?
I probably would tell my high school self I was very involved in high school, but I think I would have been more involved in high school, more involved in student government,
yeah.
Played more sports. I mean, I was in bands and in plays and musicals, and so I was very arty. I probably would have been pushed myself to be a little bit more well-rounded and try to experience more of the things that could have, you know. But, you know, I mean, I think overall I had a pretty darn good teenage existence. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with that. I, you know, sure. Could we have done stuff better? Yeah, but I love the path that I ended up on and the river that I rode down and all that stuff. All right, well, let's stay on the life train. keep this positive or interesting. Either way. And I'll lead off with two. What's the last thing you completed on your bucket list? And listeners, feel free to discuss these in your car or in your if you're at Safeway in line and you turn to the person behind you and say, hey, I had more of a distance one about 2 years ago. I worked at Sesame Street Place growing up in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. It was an amusement park based on Sesame Street. I wasn't really rides and stuff. It was more like educationally kind of stuff. And I always thought when I was working there, it would be so wonderful to bring my children back here someday to Sesame and show them. And then 2 years ago, my wife and I finally had the opportunity to do it with all three old enough that they would really enjoy it. And so that was a big bucket list. D type of thing. I have hundreds of things on bucket list still. And then going to our nature journeys the last 2 years, I've checked a ton of coolo stuff that I wanted to see. But Yosemite's Firefall was a bucket list thing that cropped up recently about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and then we finally saw it last year. So that was one natural, one family-centric. Mark?
Man. I don't have a whole lot of bucket list. I mean, I have my bucket list items are large and long, and yet I don't tend to gravitate to doing any of them. So, I mean, you know, I'm sorry. I know that I'm not supposed to blank, but I don't know.
That's fine. I mean, I'll give you examples of mine. Like, I still want to go to the Kentucky Derby. I did another one this year. I never white rider rafted till last year. And my wife, like, looked at me and was like, let's get her done. Like, let's do it. And then now we have all these beautiful memories of my family white rider rafting for the first time. Anyway, I'm sure you could think of them if you had a little, you know, your off-the-cuff skills are amazing. But not on display yet again. Crix?
I don't know. I mean, I think I always wanted to be, like, a Disney cast member. And then, like, when that opportunity came to work for the Mouse, I took it. And so that was definitely a bucket list checkoff. And
Explain that, though, because a lot of people know, but cast member means you are...
I mean, just an employee of Disney.
An employee of Disney, right. Because they refer to every employee as a cast member.
Every employee is a cast member.
Especially when you're in the park, you're on stage, et cetera.
As a kid, I always wanted to be like an Imagineer or even work at the theme park and get my name tag and stuff. And then when I joined the company, even though I'm in like the corporate streaming tech part of it, we still got a name tag. We still got to do the thing. And we're still called cast members. And then when you go and show your employee ID at like the Disney store or something like to get the discount, they're like, oh, where do you make your magic and all that? So it's like, oh, I am a
dude,
cast
member. Your group brought around Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
I mean, you were the talk of the world last year.
I guess so. Yeah. So, yeah.
I guess so.
That's definitely a bucket list.
You're
that,
too humble.
Luckily, I got to check off. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's a big one. Dumb luck fell into that one.
All right, well, we'll revisit these. They're always kind of fun, and if they get you to think a little bit while you're listening, maybe you can bring them up at your dinners or with your kids and kind of have fun with it, too. That was our Would You Rather segment, and then coming up next, the home stretch, the thank yous, and things that make us smile. All right, finally, we want to wrap up the show with things that make us smile. One funny side note that makes me smile is that Mark and Crix off air are... talking about the taco debacle still and whether Mark will get his own privatized salsa. But that's just because these guys always make me smile. The main thing is October. It's one of my favorite. October, November, and December. Oh, it's just my sweet spot in life. The days are shorter. Life is great. It's getting sort of chillier at night anyway here in California. I love the fall so much. And then I'm going to Yosemite with the fam. It's become our new fall tradition. And I want to have a whole episode on traditions because I've talked to psychologists and psychiatrists now, and they stress how important traditions are, small or large, in family. So we get there eventually. And then my final thing is, based on what we were talking about earlier in the show, I still love these drop-offs at school. This is the last year my three littles will be in the same school. So when they dump out of the old family truckster in the morning and they have their little backpacks and they run to different grades, like three little Peanuts characters. Yeah. And it's like, oh, no.
That's the best.
Yeah. So I'm going to savor that and I'm going to enjoy it. How about you guys? Crix?
So I got a couple too. Like, this past weekend, my daughter was at a golf tournament at Pebble Beach. So we're down in Monterey.
Oh, dude, on Pebble I saw those Beach. Pictures.
Dude, what a blast. And then it was just me and her hotel. We do our Bubba Gump shrimp, and man, that was awesome. And I told her the Forrest Gump story, and she was all into it. So that was amazing. The other one is my daughter got voted homecoming queen or something. Homecoming junior year one with a homecoming court or something.
Wow.
Which is really weird. Like, she's, you know, like I would, it's the last thing she would do. But I snuck out to the football game, the homecoming game, and just so I could watch her and take pictures of this. And she was on like a float and in the convertible waving in her dress and with the crown on. And it was just,
holy cow. How awesome. Did I miss this?
I don't know. It was out of left field.
I saw it and I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, how did that
we
happen?
We haven't seen each other in a couple of weeks.
So that was kind of trippy. That, but man, it really, you know, kind of warmed my heart. And then I guess the third one is I'm taking a day off next week and taking the kids to Disneyland.
Oh, yeah. Finally, you're going to receive your perk.
Exactly. It's been, you know, a year and a half, man. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, it's so great. Mark?
You know, I started decorating for Halloween early this year, and no, I mean really,
no, like June.
No. I usually don't start until October 1st, but this year I started mid September.
Nice.
And well, you know, I mean, so my next door neighbor's house went up for sale in the market, and I figured I wanted to break in anybody who wanted to move in next to me. You know, gently. I don't do anything too crazy. I'm not about gore. I'm about, you know. Anyway, so. What was really, really fun was I put my stuff out, and my neighborhood's usually kind of sleepy, not a whole lot of decorating. But the more and more I decorate, because I'm adding things each day, and it's a ritual I have with my kids where, you know, oh, let's put this up today. And so it almost becomes almost a daily, like, what are we going to add to the yard today?
How
so
much it's stuff cool. do you have?
Too much. Don't even, like, if my wife is listening to this.
You got a minute and 20 seconds to tell us about it.
So anyhow, all of my neighbors started decorating. So prior to October 1st, like, a bunch of my neighbors have decorated. And when I look out my window at night and I see their lights and their stuff going on, and I live on a court and it's sleepy, but just so fun to see everybody getting in the spirit this year. So anyhow, cool. that just makes, and my kids love it too, because they see that we sort of started a little bit of a neighborhood, like just, you know, a neighborhood. Hey, we're all here and it's fun. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's so, awesome. Anyway.
Yeah, you wouldn't be the Christmas tree neighbor or the Christmas decoration. You're the Halloween neighborhood.
Oh no, I am Christmas too.
All right. We'll save that for another episode.
There you go.
Well, and our listeners, of course, make a smile. Thank you for all, my goodness, it's been really a magical run. Thank you for all the great feedback, especially on Instagram. We're on there a lot. Twitter, Facebook, you've all been so kind. Even these random servers that I don't even know about, I'll get notifications that someone commented on the pod or, you know, whatever. And we're flattered and we're thrilled that people are even listening. So we're just out here being goofballs, but we hope that we can shed a little light on fatherhood. And, you know, as Shannon and I were talking about, I keep name dropping this guy, but he's pretty fun. You know, if we can help one person just turn into a positive or take a little self-care or, you know, just take something new and get a little momentum going. Hey, that's what it's worth. So we are on the gram, Twitter, Facebook. We'll have a website coming up in 2024. And until then, we are out of here. Have a great week, everybody. And thanks for listening.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Time Out Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.
My turn! Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Time Out Show. And we're out of here.